intimacy. Into me, see. We often think of intimacy only externally, in relationship with others. But there's a more fundamental intimacy that's often overlooked or even ignored. This intimacy is internal, it's personal, and it reflects the relationship that we have with ourselves. What happens when we hold up a mirror and look deeply into our own reflection? What do we see? What do we allow to be revealed? How honest are we with our thoughts, our feelings? As we become a whole new version of ourselves, as we take on the title of parent, this radical honesty matters even more. Welcome. My name is Barb Buckner Suarez. For over two decades, I worked as a childbirth educator and a couples coach, helping thousands of families say yes to parenting. I've got some thoughts about how life changes when we choose to become parents. Those thoughts may be irreverent, funny, or countercultural at times, but I promise you, they will always be real. Whether you're curious about starting a family, in the middle of your fourth pregnancy, or your birthing days are long over, raising the next generation is hard. And all of us could use a little more support. I want this to be a place where you can find that support. Because let's face it, birth happens. I'm not sure how your road to parenthood happened. Maybe you're blissfully partnered and this was the next logical step and it happened easily and quickly. Perhaps you struggled long and hard for this pregnancy, suffering loss along the way. It could have been through a combination of science and other people that you find yourself with a baby on board. But no matter how this happened, how did you feel once it all sunk in? I mean, in your body. Some folks skate through their pregnancies, all cute, sporting a nothing but baby bump, skin and hair glowing, looking like they just stepped out of a Parents magazine photo shoot. And if that's been your experience, I'm honestly thrilled for you. Even if my voice doesn't exactly match my words. Seriously, I am thrilled when folks tell me that they love being pregnant. It's a big deal to give your body over to the growing baby inside of you. And if it can be something that you enjoy, yay! Shout it from the rooftops, I say. But there are some of us, and by that I mean me, who don't have the best time while being pregnant, no matter how happy they are to have the experience. My husband and I didn't know if we'd be able to have kids of our own. About 6 months after we were married, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer. So the next 18 months meant that our vows of in sickness and in health got seriously tested, y'all. We had to have the hard conversations as newlyweds about what we would and wouldn't do in the world of reproductive medicine if we weren't able to get pregnant. But about 3 years after we said I do, I peed on the stick and saw a plus sign. We couldn't believe it, and our initial reaction was exactly what you might think. Tears of joy at the shock and surprise that we were not going to have to use the bank sperm after all. And then I started throwing up. Why do they call it morning sickness? For me, it was, unless I'm sleeping, I'm puking sickness. Can anyone else relate? I had been teaching childbirth preparation classes for a couple of years at this point, so it wasn't like I didn't know all the tricks, and I used every last one of them, and none of them worked. I ended up losing about 10 to 15 pounds in my first trimester, and if the nausea and throwing up hadn't stopped around 16 weeks, I probably would have been hospitalized. My point is this. Being pregnant with my first of four children was something that I didn't love or enjoy. And maybe that's been your experience as well. Or at the very least, you've heard that some folks struggle to get through their pregnancies. How we feel, even how we look, can really be an issue. Not just for how we get through pregnancy, but how we prepare for labor and birth. Night one of a childbirth prep series, we discuss anatomy and terms using a set of slides that show the changes that occur in a person's body from pre-pregnant to just about to pop, 37 to 39 weeks along. My goal is to have these folks leave class with a deeper appreciation and respect for their bodies and all the changes that have happened. I want them to be impressed with themselves, and I'll admit that I want their partners to be a little bit in awe of them as well. The uterus starts out as a pelvic organ, but it's clear to see by the end of pregnancy that while it might still originate in the pelvis, it has greatly expanded and is now shoving out of the way and applying pressure on all the other organs housed within the abdomen. Depending on how much space a person has in their torso, the space that exists between the bottom of the ribcage and the top of their hips greatly determines how they'll carry their baby, tucked up and inside or way out in front. I know I'm fighting a bit of an uphill battle and trying to get people to feel more positive about the physical changes that are happening during pregnancy, but I'm determined to try. I'm someone who had issues with my own body image as a young person, and sadly, I'm not alone. But it was pregnancy and birth that transformed the relationship I now have with my body. I grew up thinking that at least some of the power men seem to possess was in part because of their bodies. Until I got pregnant, that is. Then I remember thinking almost every day during pregnancy, I'm so freaking powerful. I'm creating a brand new human being inside of my body. And after my body opens up to birth this baby, my body will make all the food my baby needs. I am incredible. My body is amazing. In my youth, I wasted so much time wondering if I was carrying too much weight or how my body looked as I tried to wear whatever fashions were the most popular, even if they weren't the most flattering for my particular body type. I work out and take care of my body today, but my focus has completely changed. It's not so I can be a certain size or see the right number reflected back to me from my bathroom scale. I work out so that I'll be healthy and strong enough to keep up with my four children, and so that hopefully I'll be healthy and able to enjoy my grandchildren someday. This marks a huge transformation for me. I want that same transformation to happen for the pregnant people in my classes. But the issue is that too many view their bodies negatively during pregnancy. They catch themselves in the bathroom mirror or the reflection from a store window and think to themselves, "I'm getting huge." Now is the time to stop berating your body and instead give it some well-deserved love and respect. Now is the time to go out in a bikini if you'd like and strut your stuff without concern of your tummy sticking out. There's no way you could suck it in if you tried, so why not show it off instead? What I'm trying to do is switch out the negative tape that's been playing in their heads with a positive one instead, because I think all of this follows us into our births. It's hard to feel strong in our birthing bodies if we feel shame in our pregnant bodies. I know this message resonates with my students because I can see partners nudging their pregnant counterparts and whispering things like, "See, what did I tell you?" Sometimes I'll even notice a pregnant person whose eyes are full of tears, and I know that I've obviously struck a nerve. I'm not trying to make anyone cry, but I am trying to get them to switch out those tapes. I can't think of anything else that we get to experience that has the possibility of such incredible transformation. Pregnancy and birth allow for both personal and relationship transformations that can forever change how you view yourself as an individual, as a parent, and as a couple. And this transformation begins in how we view our bodies while still pregnant. You are not getting huge. Your body is changing to create space within you for that transformation to start even before your baby is born. How has pregnancy changed the way you feel about your body? Has this been a positive or negative change for you? What were your expectations about how you would look while pregnant? Maybe you were hoping that you'd look like Kate Middleton, whose picture gets plastered on the front of magazine covers in the checkout aisle, with a tiny arrow pointing out her adorable little baby bump. But maybe you really look more like Kim Kardashian when she's pregnant, and you're feeling frustrated because your baby bump is neither little nor adorable. I can't believe that I actually have something in common with Kim Kardashian, but apparently I do. We both carry big. If you're not careful, this can lead you down a path of negative thinking about your body just by virtue of how you carry the baby that's inside of you. I want to talk about your amazing body, no matter what size it is, because what you look like on the outside does not tell the full story of all that is going on inside. It's important to change your negative thinking about this sooner than later. Stop agonizing about how big you're getting and instead start appreciating all that your body is doing to accommodate your growing and developing baby. Hopefully, this will lessen your anxiety about how you look, but more importantly, lessen your fears about giving birth to a really big baby. These fears are only heightened when you listen to the misinformed opinions of others who make predictions of the size of your baby based on how you look on the outside. You might even start to consider an induction to avoid giving birth to a baby you're afraid won't fit. If folks are of normal weight pre-pregnant, the suggested range for gaining weight during pregnancy is 25 to 35 pounds. Many gain outside this weight range, and I like to use myself to illustrate this point. At the start of our first pregnancy, I was just finishing up the job of full-time caregiver for my husband after his cancer treatment. There was no established exercise regimen at all. While I was pregnant, I ate well. Then eventually I did a little bit of prenatal yoga and some swimming, but nothing strenuous. Over the course of my first pregnancy, despite being considered normal weight going in, I gained 45 pounds. With my second pregnancy, I was chasing after my two-year-old. Now, y'all, if you've ever spent a couple of hours with a toddler, then you know it's quite the cardio workout. Again, despite normal weight going in, I still ended up gaining 45 pounds. Before getting pregnant with my third child, I'd been seeing a personal trainer. After becoming pregnant, I continued to work out at the gym 3 times a week until I was about 7 months along, and I gained 45 pounds. With my fourth and final baby, I had completed a couple of half marathons and had discovered boot camp classes. I continued to work out my boot camp classes 3 times a week until I was 36 weeks along. Guess how much weight I ended up gaining? Yep, 45 pounds. Apparently, no matter what kind of exercise program I'm doing while pregnant, my body thinks it has to gain about 45 pounds in order to give birth to a healthy baby. But even though I was 10 years older with my fourth baby, my pregnancy, birth, and recovery were all easier than any I'd had before. Why? Because I was in much better shape than I'd been with the other three. Disclaimer: this does not mean you should start taking a boot camp class while pregnant. And if you haven't yet had any exercise during this pregnancy, do not beat yourself up about it. Walking, swimming, and prenatal yoga are fantastic ways to prepare for the birth of this baby, and all of them can be started at any point in your pregnancy. These simple, low-impact exercises help you build up stamina for the hard work of labor ahead, and they'll also make you feel good now. So if they're not interested in embarrassing you every time you step on the scale at your clinic visits, why did your provider insist upon weighing you? Because they need to track your weight gain from visit to visit. If you have a significant jump in weight, or you gain very little or no weight at all, these could be indicators for your provider to check on your baby's development. For example, if you end up not gaining enough weight, you could end up with a baby that has a very low birth weight. If you end up gaining more than what is recommended, you could be at higher risk of having high blood pressure or gestational diabetes. It is important to be mindful of your weight gain. But I think what surprises folks more than how much weight they gain is how they actually look during pregnancy. If you're someone who has a longer torso in comparison to the rest of your body, then you might be able to sneak that baby up and inside of you for most of your pregnancy. You really are one of those folks who has a tiny baby bump. But believe it or not, there's a downside to this. People ask if your baby's okay or if they're developing properly because you look too small to be carrying a healthy baby, or they just don't believe you when you say you're pregnant. I had the opposite problem with all of my pregnancies. Maybe you're like me and my BFF Kim Kardashian. I have less than a couple of finger widths between my hips and ribs. There's very little room for my babies to hide, and there's nowhere for my babies to go but out. People always ask me, are you carrying twins? Or You have how much time left? And while fielding these questions is annoying, those of us who carry big run the extra risk of buying into the idea that our babies are huge and there's no way we'll be able to deliver them vaginally. You need to stop that train of thought right now. Inside of you, there are many things at work not visible to the eye that should provide a sense of relief and a solid belief that you can give birth to the baby inside of you no matter what you look like on the outside. When you were first seen by your provider and they performed that lengthy and uncomfortable pelvic exam, one of the things they were trying to determine was whether there were any concerns about the size and shape of your pelvic structure. If any anomalies were discovered, which would be rare, a cesarean birth would have already been discussed. It's safe to assume that your pelvis is just fine, size and shape-wise. But if you still find yourself catching your reflection in the mirror thinking, how can I possibly deliver a baby this big? Or secretly measuring your partner's head while they're sleeping? Then remembering what else is happening inside your body to help you give birth to whatever size baby you're carrying is important. There's a hormone coursing through your bloodstream during pregnancy called relaxin. Relaxin, which is 10 times more prevalent in pregnancy, has many properties, but it's especially helpful for birth. Relaxin has a softening and widening effect on your cervix, and it also relaxes the ligaments in your pelvis, creating some give for when your baby's passing through your bony pelvic structure during birth. In addition, your baby's skull is made up of 5 bony plates that mold together as the baby's head passes through and out your birth canal. This allows for the smallest circumference of their head to be moving through the birth canal at any one time. The combination of your pelvis being plenty big enough to birth a baby, the hormone relaxin on board to loosen the ligaments in your pubic symphysis, your baby's ability to mold its head to fit the space, and the addition of positions in labor that provide even more space for all the twists and turns your baby needs to make on their way out, translates to most folks being perfectly capable of giving birth to whatever size baby they have within. Toward the end of your pregnancy, many people, including your provider, might try and tell you what size baby they think you're carrying. At best, it's only a guesstimate. Some studies show that even when an ultrasound is used to estimate fetal size, the measurement can be off by a pound or more in either direction. I know someone from my classes who went through an induction for a suspected large baby, and after a cascade of interventions, which ultimately led to an unexpected cesarean, she gave birth to a 7.5-pound baby. Not exactly the 10-pounder her provider guessed it would be if she went to full term. Try not to compare your body with other pregnant bodies that you see in the world. Understand that your uterus can expand anywhere from 50 to 75 times its original size to accommodate your growing and developing baby. And even though your uterus was considered a pelvic organ before you were pregnant, once the baby gets big enough, it becomes an abdominal organ. Depending on how much space you have between your hips and ribs, that baby might have nowhere else to go but out. Now is not the time to think of your changing body as getting big. This is the time to celebrate all of the amazing things your body is doing to bring a healthy baby into this world. Celebrate those changes. Find some time to give your body and your self-image some much-needed TLC. And remember, whether you're a Kate or a Kim, what your body looks like from the outside means little compared to what it's capable of doing from the inside. If you're anything like me when I was pregnant, I'll bet that you're taking great care of yourself. I hope that you're actually taking time to care for yourself. There's something about growing a whole new human being inside of you that motivates pregnant folks to stop drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, and going to drive-thrus for Big Macs and fries. They start drinking more water, eating better food, exercising more, attending yoga classes, taking vitamins, and napping on a regular basis. When we're pregnant, we're motivated to stop doing all the things that we know are not so great for us and start doing all those things that we know that are good for us, but never seemed to be a priority before. Isn't that interesting? It takes getting pregnant before we really start taking good care of ourselves. But no matter, here you are, being really, really good to yourself. You should feel so proud. You're doing all of the things that are necessary for your baby to thrive. Because of the way you're treating yourself, you're giving your baby the best start possible. Good for you. Guess what might happen after the baby is born, unless you make a promise to yourself right now? All that TLC that you were lavishing on yourself, all those excellent healthy habits that you developed over the long 9 months while your baby was growing inside of you, they all go away. And they go away at a time when you so desperately need them to stick around. After birth, your brand new baby requires so much from you. Everything, in fact. One of the most important things they require of you is to make their food. And the crazy cool thing is that it's possible for that food to come from your own body. After my first birth, I thought I was the coolest person on earth. I couldn't believe how strong I was. For hours after that delivery, I basked in the glow of what my body was capable of. I co-created a whole new human being in my body. Then I pushed that new human being into the world through my body. But that's not all. I could produce all the food that my baby needed for the first 6 months of their life with my body. This was the same body that I had waged war with in my youth. Maybe this was also true for you. We might have spent years loathing our bodies because our thighs were too big, or our breasts were too small, or our belly was too squishy. And it might have taken pregnancy and birth to allow us to see our bodies with new eyes. Or maybe not. I spend a lot of time reframing for the pregnant people in my classes that they're not getting huge as their bellies expand to make room for their babies. They're creating space for this new little person to grow and develop. They're providing their body as the host and pathway for this new little person to come from where? To here. These bodies of ours deserve so much TLC before, during, and especially after we give birth. But as we push our babies into this world, it's like we forget all the hard work that our bodies have gone through. We forget to feed our bodies good, nutritious meals, and we forget to drink water. We forget to step outside for a quick walk and a breath of fresh air. Sometimes we even forget how to breathe. We fail to care for our bodies. We don't honor them at all. We place our babies' needs in front of our own and skip meals and steal sips of water here and there and even deny that we have to pee because our baby is crying for our attention. We have to take care of them. But we can only take care of our baby's needs if we're taking good care of our own first. It's like the safety message on airplanes. In the event there is a sudden loss of cabin pressure, place the oxygen mask on yourself first before helping small children or others who may need your assistance. See, the airlines know that if you waste precious seconds trying to get a mask on someone who needs help before you put one on yourself, you're both going down. As new parents, we need to put our own oxygen mask on first in order to be able to help care for our babies. What does this look like? Set up a space in your home that will be your nursing or feeding nook. It should have a comfortable place for you to hold your baby while you feed them. There should be a water bottle filled and ready. Bonus points of this nook include some snacks that are easy to grab and eat. Decide now what your bottom line is for a clean house, only the essentials, and let everything else go. Or find someone else that is neither you or your partner to keep it clean. Have your BFF set up a meal train for you, so that at least a few times a week you can count on someone else making you delicious food and bringing it to your door. Be gentle on your body and don't make many demands of it in the first 6 months postpartum. Have some clothes that are 1 to 2 sizes larger than what you wore before you got pregnant, not maternity clothes. This transition wardrobe will allow you to look and feel stylish, but not rush you into getting your body back. Find ways to exercise that make you feel strong, but stop looking at the number on the scale. Recognize that your body is amazing and deserves to be well taken care of. Vow to give your body more tender, loving care in the postpartum period than you did even while you were pregnant. Because if it weren't for that body of yours, your baby wouldn't even be here. You are incredible. Your body is incredible. And there's never been a better or more important time to take good care of it than right now. How did you feel about your body before you were pregnant? How about after you gave birth? What, if anything, changed for you? Are you giving your body the TLC that it deserves? At my age, my body and I have come to a sort of reckoning. I go to boot camp 3 times a week and push my competitive self to beat the 20-somethings in class alongside me. And this allows me to drink red wine, eat dark chocolate, and cook with butter. Because duh, everything's better with butter. I'm grateful every day to have a body that's strong, and generally speaking, I feel good about myself. But after 4 babies, my belly... Let's just say that my belly looks like it's given birth to 4 babies. You know what I mean? If you're still pregnant with your first, then you might not know what I mean, but you will. That's not me being snotty, people. That's just me being the REP, realistic expectations police. When we're first pregnant, we have expectations that even though we're putting on weight, that after the baby is born, poof, it's gone. We might also have expectations that if we just nurse the hell out of our babies, that extra weight rolls right off. And in some ways, both of these statements have a little bit of truth. I remember stepping on the scale soon after my first baby was born and being amazed by my rapid weight loss program. I lost about 20 of the 45 pounds that I'd gained almost overnight. But could you tell by looking at me? No way. And even though I've never felt hungrier than when I was a nursing mother and thoroughly enjoy being able to snarf down everything in sight, as slowly, very slowly, the number on the scale started to creep back down, I was still wearing maternity pants for a while after my baby was born. But even as I started to exercise more and lost all of the baby weight I'd put on, my belly never looked the same. And I think this is an issue for a lot of us birthing folks out there. Even if you're really fit and wearing the same size as you did before the baby or babies came, your body is now a different body altogether. And why shouldn't it be? What an amazing thing you and your body have done together. You've been a co-creator of a brand new human life. You've expanded emotionally, physically, spiritually to allow this new little person to take hold, develop, and thrive inside of you. You've sacrificed yourself in so many ways so that this next generation can be realized. You've given birth to your baby, either by pushing your baby down and through your birth canal or by enduring major abdominal surgery. Pregnancy and birth change us. Some of those changes remain hidden. They're deep and internal shifts in how we now move through this world. But there are external changes too. And sometimes, we're not able to hide these very well. Instead of trying to hide them, how can we begin to not only accept these changes, but celebrate them? Part of this work can happen even during pregnancy. The next time you step out of the shower, towel off, and find a full-length mirror and give that incredible body of yours the props that it so well deserves. Be amazed at what your body is doing to make space for your growing baby inside of you. Allow your partner's words of appreciation for how sexy they find your changing body to sink in. We're so weird in this culture. We can't wait to tell people, I just ran my first marathon, and are delighted to hear, wow, that's incredible. But we never even talk about the much more amazing feat of pregnancy and birth that we've gone through. Why aren't we shouting, look at me? Do you have any idea how spectacular I am? Instead, we fret about how we look and beat ourselves up at a time when we need to celebrate all that our body is capable of. But for the record, even I'm not immune to this stuff. No matter what my weight, I have a belly pooch now that wasn't there before I became a mama. And no matter how many crunches or core exercises I do, it's never going to go away. Not completely. But now I'm wanting to establish a different relationship with this belly pooch of mine. And it's all because of a conversation my son and I had the other day. He pulled up my shirt, hugged me, kissed my belly pooch, and exclaimed, "I love your belly." Then he pulled up his own shirt and said, "Look at my belly. It's so tight and hard."
Like, that's a bad thing? I thought to myself.
"Why do you love my belly so much?" I asked. "Because it's so soft and squishy. Because it feels like a pillow when I'm hugging you. Because it's where I slept when I was inside of you."
I know, right?
On a bad day, he's a really sweet and cute kid, but damn, this was a response that even I had no comeback for. And then I realized something. For the past 7 years, I've been wishing for my body to change. I want my belly pooch to just go away already. But maybe I should try to practice what I preach. Maybe I should try looking at my belly, and instead of bemoaning all that it used to be, celebrate all that it has become. My four babies make me the person I am today, and I like this person. So instead of picking myself apart, reducing me to a pant size or a flat abdomen, maybe I should congratulate myself and my body on a job very well done indeed. Embracing the ways that parenthood changes us seems a very empowering place to practice much of what we're wanting to pass along to our babies as they grow up. Self-love, kindness to ourselves and to others, acceptance of differences, appreciation of beauty in all of its forms, and recognition of hard work and effort, just to name a few. You know, this parenting thing is a funny business. Sometimes you think you're here to teach your little ones how to be in the world. And then all of a sudden the coin gets flipped and you wonder, which of us is the teacher here? How lucky am I to be learning from you? And in that moment, you might realize that having a soft, squishy belly is the best thing in the whole wide world. At least it is to one particular 7-year-old who has just taught you how to love purely, completely, and without judgment. And that's a lesson worth learning. An important part of personal intimacy is making peace with our own bodies during pregnancy so that we can feel proud, powerful, and confident in our body's ability to labor and birth or to move through whatever it is that will be asked of it as we bring our babies into the world. So wherever you are right now, let's practice together making peace with our own body. If you're walking the dog, stand still. If you're driving while listening, pull over. I promise this will only take a few moments. If you're feeding your baby, it's time to give yourself a little bit of TLC too. Close your eyes or soften your gaze and feel how your feet make contact with the ground. Or if you're sitting, how your bum, thighs, and back make contact with your chair. Place your right hand on your heart and your left hand on your belly. Settle in with a couple of deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth. Your inhale is deep and brings your breath all the way down to your belly. And your exhale releases any tension you may be feeling in your belly and pelvis. Your next inhale is even deeper and expands your belly and ribs. And your exhale releases any tightness you may feel in your back and shoulders. Your final inhale is your deepest yet. And when you sigh it out, your breath takes any and all remaining tension out and away from your whole body. Acknowledge all of the hard work, the sacrifice, the intense changes that your body has gone through so far, and all the changes yet to come. Silently repeat these words to yourself, and as often as you need to, so that this becomes the way you speak to and about your body. My body is powerful. My body is strong. My body has sacrificed more than I thought possible. My body has not failed me. My body has created life. My body is incredible. My body is more capable than I thought possible. I am grateful for this body. I am grateful for my body. I am grateful. In today's episode, I've shared with you some of my thoughts about the intimate relationship you might have with your own body as it changes through pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. But you might be telling yourself a story about how your partner feels about those changes. So I think hearing a partner's perspective could be helpful. I've asked my partner of 25 years, Roberto, to answer a few questions about how he's felt about my body over the years. And here's a bit of our conversation.
Think back to the first pregnancy. What did you really think about my pregnant body?
I mean, I remember still being very much attracted to you, even though you were pregnant, and feeling, you know, that in its own way, you looked beautiful as the baby was developing. But I don't remember any particular feelings of attraction or lack of attraction because of it. Does that uh-huh. make sense?
Do you remember when I was trying to describe to you like what was happening inside my body, and I was like, at first it's really cool that you, I wish that you could experience it. At first it really feels like it's like a butterfly flittering around, and then I said, and then as you get farther pregnant, it's kind of like a mouse scurrying, and you were like, oh my God, no.
Well, but that's because you said mouse. If you had maybe said a salamander or a lizard, I wouldn't have been as freaked out. But you know that I have a serious rodent phobia. So maybe mouse just wasn't the best choice of words.
It definitely did not make you want to be a pregnant person after I said that. Do you remember what happened when my milk came in? When we were still in the hospital, You were talking to your dad on the phone. And my full milk came in. And for people who don't know what I look like, I'm like an A cup, maybe, pre-baby and post-baby. But my boobs
were pretty engorged.
I think you dropped the phone.
I remember engorgement being an issue several times.
And yeah.
I think initially, because we were still trying to figure out the whole breastfeeding stuff, I don't remember dropping the phone, but you seem to remember that more explicitly than I do.
Well, because I came out of the shower and I was like, hey, take a look at these. And you literally were like, oh my God. Because they were massive.
Yeah, no, they were big. And I remember you having to upgrade bras for a considerable amount of time
after a bit.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they didn't completely deflate, but still, I just wanted to know, you know.
No, it's funny. It's funny how I don't recall. I mean, I'm sure we latch on to certain memories. Like what I remember most from the birth is being fascinated by the placenta.
Oh my God, yes.
Remember? That's like something I remember explicitly from that day is when the the placenta came out, and I'm like, it's almost like I started like a little class with the doctors there. Like I was like asking them about, oh my God, and you here you are with the baby. I'm not even paying attention, and I'm all fascinated by the placenta.
The best part about that was that prior to it, when we would go to the classes, because I made you take classes with me, even though I teach these classes, you were like, ugh.
about the placenta. And then on the other side of it, when we came home from the hospital, we had like 8 individual shots of the placenta. Like, of what you took pictures of, you took like 8 pictures of the placenta. I was like, are you trying to, are you asking it to change positions here? Like, I couldn't quite figure it out.
It's I was so fascinated funny. By the just, I don't know, maybe just because it didn't feel real, you know, hearing about it.
Yeah.
And seeing this amazing organ kind of in its full glory. I don't know. I just remember that being something that I explicitly remember a lot from the birth and other things too.
But it's pretty cool that our bodies actually create a whole brand new organ for each and every pregnancy. Right. Like, that's amazing.
I found that amazing. And that just that it's a very fragile organ that just as the baby's ready to come into the world, it starts to fail it's in done. Its own yeah, way, right? Yeah. It's done. Like, I remember the doctor pointing out these little calcifications mm-hmm. and gray spots, and it's like, oh, that's because its role is finished.
Well, know? And Elisa was 10 days post-dates, yeah. which also kind of contributes to that. So,
right.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So it's been almost 22 years since I gave birth to our first baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting you on the spot, but here I'm going to say it anyway. What do you think about my body now?
Yeah, I love your body. I mean, I've always loved your body through all the changes and through all the challenges you've had over time, feeling confident about your body. I mean, I think it's, again, it's not so much about the body. It's about the confidence and the way in which you feel comfortable in your body. You know, you're not, I mean, I don't want to get into a lot of details here, but when it comes to intimacy and being intimate with one another, how confident you are in the body you are in, I think matters more than the actual shape of the body. Becoming a mom impacts your body. So yeah. to expect that it's going to be, you know, the way it was before having a baby is not realistic. Mm-hmm. You always took good care of your body, you know, exercising through your pregnancies mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And I think for me, ultimately, what is beautiful about your body is who you are when you are a confident person in that body. That's what matters most to me. The physical look is less important than the fact that you feel confident and comfortable in the body that you have.
Intimacy. Into me, see. We're going to continue to explore this idea of intimacy during season 1 of Birth Happens. I hope today's exploration into the physical aspect of intimacy within our own bodies as we move into, through, and beyond pregnancy was helpful to you. If the answer is yes, I'd love it if you'd head over to your favorite podcasting platform, subscribe, and write a quick review. Tell your family and friends about it too. Word of mouth has always been my best marketing tool. I believe that connection is everything, y'all. And I'm convinced that it begins with birth. And pregnancy gives us an opportunity to reconnect with ourselves even before our babies are born. I look forward to creating connections with you. Please check out the resources in today's show notes, and I'll see you next time on Birth Happens.